Dude. No, there's something on. I don't know what it is.
So you're hot mic?
This is what I want.
Hot mic?
Hey, sorry there, folks. This is Wild Ginger. You are listening to KMUD Garberville 91.1, KMUE Eureka 88.1, KLAI Laytonville 90.3, and out in Shelter Cove 99.5. And I am in studio today with Paul of the Steeple in Ferndale. I'm going to pull him up here in just a second. Can you hear me, Paul? Hello, hello.
Okay. Can you hear me, Paul?
Oh, I've got weird feedback. Okay, he's saying he can't hear me. You know what, guys? I'm going to go to my theme song. For Wildcraft, and we will be back in just a moment.
Okay, he's saying he can't hear me. You know what, guys? I want to go to my theme song.
The spirit of the plants has come to me in the form of a beautiful dancing green woman.
I can hear a little bit of something there.
The plants has come to me in the form of a beautiful dancing green woman. Her eyes filled me with peace. Her dance filled me with peace. Her eyes filled me with peace. Her dance filled me with peace. The spirit of the plants has come to me in the form of a beautiful dancing green woman. The spirit of the plants has come to me in the form of a beautiful dancing green woman. Her eyes filled me with peace. Her dance filled.
Okay, this is Wild Ginger. I am back. Technology and I, sometimes we get along, sometimes we do not. So I just want to let you know before we get started with Wildcraft for the day that support for KMUD comes in part from M. Newman & Associates, providing income tax preparation and bookkeeping services. In addition to being an accountant, Melanie Newman is an enrolled agent with the IRS and can represent her clients in front of tax agencies. More info at mnewmanassociates.com or by phone 707-601-8796 for a consultation. Okay, so we are live here in studio, and I am going to bring back up Paul here. Can you hear me, Paul?
I can.
Wonderful. I hear you too. That's great. I know, right? Finally.
Yes.
Thanks. Thanks for your patience. So,
No worries.
And thanks for agreeing last minute to join me. So I'm so excited. Tomorrow night I'm attending a show at your amazing venue. So I'm going to let you take the floor and tell us all about it. You can start with explaining a little bit about the Steeple if you'd like, because it's such a unique venue. Let's talk about it.
Sure. Yeah. My wife and I, we own the old Steeple here in Ferndale, and it's an old church building that was converted to a house in the 60s and 70s. And then when we got it in 2015, we turned it into a music venue.
It's such a fun place to see a show. That's
yeah,
wonderful.
Yeah, it's a really, it's a magical room. You know, it's a big room with a tin ceiling and beautiful stained glass windows and old growth redwood construction. And it's just like, the sound is so good. And,
it really has great sound.
You know, the audience, there's not a bad seat, and the artists always love playing up here.
Yeah, I feel like even like the floor is a little bit slanted, so no matter what seat you're in, you can see the stage.
Yep, it is.
That's so cool. And I have to say, I noticed on your website that the camera is down right now, but I've definitely bragged about the Steeple before because of your owl camera.
Yeah, we did have an owl camera, but the camera like aged out technologically wise, and we just haven't figured out how to do it better yet. So,
but the owls are still up there.
Yes.
Yeah, so you've got barn owls that live at the top of the steeple and you don't kick them out. Thank you for that.
Yeah, well, you know, they eat a lot of rodents, so.
That's helpful. Yeah, everything's there for a reason, right? And, you know, today I will be talking about some of those rodents, ironically. This show is usually mostly about living with the land, so I love that you let the owls live with you right there in the old steeple. So tomorrow night you have a world music performance. The Alash Ensemble will be back, and we were there last year for the performance. So glad they came back.
Oh, me too. Yeah, you know, they're from Tuva, which is technically it's in Russia, but it's on the border of Mongolia and Russia. And they're their own ethnic group, and they used to be their own country.
Right. We don't have to get into the politics.
But they're sweet guys, and the music is just, I don't know if like haunting is the right word or magical or, but it's the
I think both singing, of those apply.
It just like, it'll make the hair on the back of your neck stand up and on your arm stand up. And it's just such a cool sound.
Well, I will be playing a little Alash Ensemble today. We'll end this discussion with some of their music, and I'll end the whole show with them again, reminding people that they can go to what's the name of your website so people can buy tickets if they're enjoying what they hear?
Yeah, theoldsteeple.com.
Yeah, thank you. And Alash Ensemble is only here one night, and the tickets are not sold out, folks.
We've got a few tickets left. Yep. We should have a few at the door, but if you save $5 by getting them online.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
That's cool. Cool. Well, looking forward to the show. And I would say if I could say my favorite thing about the Alash Ensemble is when they play songs where they talk about horses, which their culture is pretty into their horses, and when they sing about horses, they make it sound like the horses are there with you, and it's such a like auditory enlightening experience. You can close your eyes and feel like you're there in Tuva on those green pastures with the horses and the hawks flying overhead, and it's just one of a kind. And I feel like they said last year at their show that something about Ferndale really reminds them of home. I think all those green rolling hills, that Ferndale is such a beautiful place to be, that I'm sure they love coming for that reason.
Yeah, we're so glad that they wanted to come back, and really looking forward to the show.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time. And so I will play a little Alash Ensemble to remind folks what Tuvan music is like, so they can be sure to get their tickets before they're gone. But I also want to ask, just on a side note, I know it's a little while away yet, but are you going to have the goth day again on 420 like you did the last couple of years?
Oh, yeah. It's actually going to be, it's not goth day.
Oh, tell me what it's called. I apologize.
But it's the Ferndale Oddities Show.
Got it.
And it's by the Menagerie Group, and they're out of the Bay Area, but that's going to be on April 26th and 27th.
Oh, good. A different weekend. So you can do whatever you otherwise would do on 420 and still make it to this event as well.
I think the place to be is Soham for 420, right?
I mean, I'm always here, so it's always 420. I didn't say that on the air.
Yeah.
But yeah, Paul, it's such a cool experience to be in the steeple. And, you know, just because I wanted to see that owl cam and notice it was down, I did notice you also started an Airbnb on the property.
That's right. Yeah. We call it the green room because that's where the artists get ready to go on stage. So when we don't have a concert going, then the green room is available as an Airbnb.
It looks like a lovely place to stay. I'm definitely going to tell family about it when they're coming to visit. It's really pretty. And just the whole experience of being in Ferndale is something to partake in. So I'm so glad that you've kept that church going. And I'm sure there was some upkeep when you renovated it and turned it into a place to hear music. But that's such a one-of-a-kind venue. I'm so thrilled that we have this in our little county here, where there's not a lot of music choices, not a lot of places to see live music. Thanks for bringing world music.
Yeah, you're welcome. You know, we were just up on the roof working on it today.
Oh, geez. So
there's a long, long list of maintenance that we try to not get drowned by.
Yeah, like any homeowner, there's always something to work on. But
and the dang roof is so high.
I live in an A-frame, I understand. It's not quite as high, but it's close. What was I going to ask you? I had one other really good one. It was, oh, can we get more world music? Can I send world music musicians your way? Are you looking
Absolutely. I love all music of the world. I've been listening to a lot of music from Madagascar lately.
Ooh, cool.
Because David Lindley, who was here a couple times before he passed, pre-pandemic, he has this album with Madagascar artists.
Wow.
And I discovered it after he died, and it just blew my mind. But so now I've been going down this Malagasy rabbit hole.
That sounds like, really cool.
I'm like reading books, like trying to figure out what other bands I can look for. You know, like is this guy Daguerre still alive? I don't know. Like he's got a Wikipedia page, but there's not.
Oh,
not
it's so hard once you get down that rabbit hole. You'll find something good, I'm sure, if you keep digging.
Yeah.
I really love Icelandic influenced music, Nordic influenced music. Just putting that out there in case you, you know, ever. Yeah, I feel like we need to start reaching out to bands that are going from SF up to Portland and be like, don't forget Humboldt. Because,
yeah, come here in the middle of the week, you know, it's a perfect
spot. Be there. We'll come out for it. Come out for any show. We're thrilled when we get live music in Humboldt. So if you're a musician, anyway, thank you so much, Paul. This has been amazing. I can't wait to see you in person tomorrow night. And thank you for bringing the Alash Ensemble back to Humboldt County. It's definitely our pleasure that you share the steeple with us. And when you get that owl camera back up, come back on the show and tell us about it.
Will do. You know, the best part of doing this is sharing it with people. So we'll see you tomorrow night.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Paul. This has been a pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Till next time.
Bye.
Bye. Awesome. That was so fun. All right. So in case you've got some room in your busy schedule tomorrow evening, I believe the show starts at 7, but the doors open. I think actually doors open at 6:30, shows at 7:30. Don't quote me. Go on to the Old Steeple website and find out for yourself. I'm just going to reiterate. The first time I looked it up, I thought the show was sold out. That was an ad for last year's performance. They are definitely still available if you would like a ticket to see the Alash Ensemble. Sounds like they're almost gone, but they are not gone. So let's hear a little Alash Ensemble right now.
açmış derece araş. Onlarlarının arasında ay. Artun arayı cimcaraş. Artun arayı cimcaraş.
That was two in a row by Alash Ensemble, the Tuvan throat singers that will be at the Old Steeple tomorrow evening in Ferndale. Tickets are available at the Old Steeple website, and it's something not to be missed. One of a kind world music, hard to find here in Humboldt, I would say, you know. So I just want to throw in that last year when we saw these performers, the one of the gentlemen said, I don't know why they call it throat singing. Everyone uses their throat when they sing. And he's so right. But it is a different kind of singing. The way that they can whistle like that, just mind-blowing. The sound of the horse's hooves. Did you hear that in the second song? It's just very iconic. A lot of fun. Looking forward to that tomorrow evening. And, you know, because this show is Wildcraft and because I try to keep all the promises I make, I am going to come back and talk to you throughout the rest of this show about flying squirrels, because I did say last time I was on the air, next time I'm going to talk about flying squirrels, and I'm still amped to talk about flying squirrels. So I might just, like, instead of continuing to jabber in your ears, I want to get some good music in. So I think what I'm going to do is play a few songs and then give you a fast fact about the fastest little arboreal guy living up in the trees all around us. So I'm going to give you a little info about flying squirrels, then we'll hear some music, then I'll come back, and we'll just go like that until 5:30, when of course we'll hear public affairs and then your local news. So here we go. So, okay, did y'all know that flying squirrels hardly ever touch the ground It's true. They are arboreal, which means they live in the treetops. Although I do have some friends who had a flying squirrel in their house quite recently. It was because of a kitty bringing it in the house. So this is my one moment to say, please put bells on your cats to keep native species safe and sound. It's the least we can do for those little flying squirrels. So, of course, you know, flying squirrels glide with special membrane that stretches from their wrist to their ankles, and it is called a patagium. There are two varieties of flying squirrels. The northern flying squirrel is found on the west coast here, and they are brown with a gray belly. The southern flying squirrel, don't let the name fool you, southern flying squirrels are found, like, throughout half the country on the east side. It should be, like, west coast, east coast flying squirrel. They've been misnamed. Anyway, the other flying squirrels, the southern flying squirrels, they have a white belly, while the ones on this side of the country have a gray belly. You'd think that's not much of a difference, but they also have different mating habits. The East Coast, well, southern flying squirrels mate twice a year, while the ones on this side of the country, the ones in California, Idaho, Pacific Northwest, they only mate once a year. So I'll come back to why that's really important. No, I won't. I'm just going to tell you. That's really important because they can't reproduce more than just once a year, which means if you find them nesting in your home and you evict them when their little babies are little, those babies might not make it anymore. And you've just taken away the possibility for a whole new generation this year of flying squirrels in your neck of the woods. And that's really important, not just because they're adorable, but because they are a food source that I'm going to have to let you guys hold on that one because I got to give you something next time. So maybe while we listen to tunes, your homework can be to decide who do you think eats a flying squirrel. And I maybe gave you guys a little bit of a hint when I was interviewing Paul earlier from the old steeple. So let's see if you can figure out my clues and decide who eats flying squirrels while we move along. We did hear two in a row from Alosh Ensemble, and I'll probably end the show with another Alosh song just to remind you. This next band is called Glass Beams. The song is called Mirage. And we'll play a couple songs. The next one will be from a band called Tears of Lilith, and we'll see where we go from there. So Glass Beams, here you are. Enjoy the tunes. right, it's that time again, folks. It is 4:30. You thought I was going to say something else? I did not. It is 4:30. You're listening to KMUD Garberville, KMUE Eureka, KLAI in Laytonville. This is Wild Ginger. You're listening to Wildcraft. Today we are talking about flying squirrels. But first I want to let you know a couple quick things. Well, first of all, it is a perfect 64 degrees here in Redway right now. Today's high was 68 and we're currently at 64 degrees. Couldn't ask for a more beautiful day. Daffodils are popping. Sun is out. Poured all day yesterday. Best kind of day. The day after the storm. I love it. Lots of rain. We want it all. And we like those next days after. Anyway, we have been listening to Tears of Lilith. The song was called Thousand and One Nights, which is also the name of the album. I have a quick PSA for you, and I will be back to let you know some more information. And then I'll let you know who eats flying squirrels, so I hope you've been thinking about it. All right. Let's get this up.
We all make choices about alcohol. Kids make choices whether to drink or not.
Bye, Dad. Remember, I'm going to Alex's party tonight and sleeping over.
Hey, Em. Remind me about that party again.
And adults make choices whether to talk about it. That's true of parents and every other trusted adult in a kid's life. Kids want to know our expectations, and they want honest answers in everyday conversations. So talk with your kids and help lead them on a positive path, because when you talk, they hear you. Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. We all...
Okay, there you are. I also want to let you know there is a sheet mulching workshop coming up. Creating pollinator sanctuaries with native plants is the theme of a free workshop hosted by Friends of the Lost Coast on Saturday, March 8th. Featuring restoration ecologist and permaculture designer Kyle Keegan, participants will learn how to use sheet mulching to convert garden areas into sanctuaries for native pollinators. Plant varieties used to attract and support diverse array of native species, including butterflies, bees, and hummingbirds, will also be discussed. This workshop takes place at the Fool's Farm in Salmon Creek from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Space is limited to 15 participants with advanced registration required. Email info@lostcoast.org to register. And you can tune in to Backwards Down the Number Line Tuesday nights, 8 to 10 p.m. on KMUD for your fill of friendly flopping fish. Carrying the torch for Frying Pan Dan, rotating fish-loving hosts invite you to join in on this one-of-a-kind music adventure as they dive into nearly 40 years of live fishery for your pleasure. That's Tuesdays, Under the Light, Middle of the Night. Couldn't Get It Wrong Radio, Shocks Your Brain Radio, KMUD in the heart of the Redwoods. Radio. All right, I'm going to put on another tune for you all, and I will be back moment... Oh, I was going to tell you about flying squirrels. I promise. I will be right back to tell you about... Oh my gosh, a flying squirrel just walked into the studio. I am not kidding. This is real. I'm going to put on the microphone. Hello, sir. Who do I have the pleasure of talking to you right now?
I'm Jim Truitt.
Jim, it's nice to meet you. Feel free to pull up a chair. Thank you, Dorothy, for bringing a guest into the studio. How exciting. Hi, Jim. It's nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
You just happened to hear that I was talking about flying squirrels, and you brought a taxidermied flying squirrel into the studio.
I heard you talking about it, and this guy, my cat drug this guy in.
Yeah, that's how it happened.
20 years ago.
Oh, my goodness. It's so cute.
Living out in the woods, and I was like, oh, my goodness, look at this thing.
It's amazing. I wish you all could see this right now. It is so cool. They literally have, like, it's almost like... Well, it looks like a kite with a head on it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's like a squirrel with all their four legs connected with a web.
Yeah.
You know?
It almost reminds me of like the webbing that a bat has on its wings, except for covered in fur.
Yeah.
Okay, well, since you're here in person, I can't help it. I'm going to tell everybody the coolest thing about flying squirrels. I'm going to give away the punchline right now because I want to see your face when I tell you this because I don't know if you know this yet. Flying squirrels glow neon bubblegum pink in a black light.
Is that right?
Yeah, they just discovered it 4 years ago, and they're not sure why yet. But when you put a black light on a flying squirrel, it glows neon pink. No kidding, like bubblegum pink. Isn't that amazing?
I'll have to give it a try.
Yeah, go home and get a black light out. You're going to be awestruck. It's apparently, it's either a defense mechanism, like they're mimicking owls. You guys, this is the thing I was going to tell you next. Owls eat flying squirrels, specifically spotted owls, which are an endangered species. So we need flying squirrels because it's like 80% of what spotted owls eat is flying squirrels. And so big owls, like great horned owls, they also glow pink underneath, but not the spotted owls. And those spotted owls get bullied, picked on, and hunted by the larger owls. So those great horned owls glow pink, and so do the flying squirrels. And scientists think maybe the flying squirrels are pink underneath to trick the spotted owls into thinking it's another owl. Mind-blowing, right? If you can't become... if you don't want to become the prey, become the predator.
I'm definitely going to check it out.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing stuff. And then what else did I learn about that? Oh, the other thought was maybe flying squirrels glow neon pink so they can find each other because they like to hang out in packs for protection and to keep warm in their nests. They snuggle with each other, and you'll sometimes see up to 15 or 20 flying squirrels in the same tree because they like to hang out together. That is a really big specimen. How big do you think that is? 6 or 8 inches long? I mean, including the tail.
It's probably 8 inches.
Yeah.
Not including the tail.
Yeah, and it has a tail. So can you turn it around? He's got it displayed on a piece of wood. So it's like, it's such a beautiful taxidermy job. I mean, that's 20 years old. It looks really good. The tail isn't really that much like a regular squirrel tail. It's kind of more like a kitty tail, right?
Yeah, it's not that big.
Yeah, it's not big and fluffy. I mean, it is fluffy, of course, but it's not like the big bushiness that you see of a regular squirrel.
Right.
Yeah, it's definitely...
Regular squirrel would be that long, and it'd be
way
puffy.
Fatter and yeah. Much longer. Yeah, puffy. Yeah. So this is more aerodynamic, is my guess. That is so cool.
I'm sure they use it to create a balance when they're gliding.
I bet they do. I cannot believe that you just jumped in the car and ran down here with a flying squirrel just for me. I am so honored right now. This is maybe the coolest thing that has ever happened to me at K-Mud. I'm so thrilled right now. It's so cute. You can see his two little top and two little bottom teeth, his big eyes, and you can see that his underbelly's not white. It's more of like a creamy, light brown. So I know that's one of the, I mean, we know it's a native one because you found it in your yard or at your house. So you know it's from the West Coast. But I was saying the East Coast squirrels have a much brighter white belly for no reason really other than it's a different subspecies.
Yeah.
But did you know that they are the primary food source for spotted owls? I thought that was really interesting.
I didn't know that, but that's interesting.
It is, right? I'm going to tell another thing. I told folks I wasn't going to say it all at once and make them wait through the whole show to hear facts, but I can't help it. I'm so excited you're here. I'm going to tell you in person. Flying squirrels love to share a nest, and they will share nests with other flying squirrels, small birds, including pygmy owls. When owls owls eat them, but little tiny pygmy owls, are about the same size. They snuggle with them in a nest. They've been found in a nest with birds, including owls, and also bats. They will also snuggle with bats. They like love to share their habitat with anyone who will help keep them warm. Isn't that cute? So, and they only sleep with other nocturnal animals, I think, because they don't want to be woken up when they're trying to sleep in the middle of the day. So, wow. I am so honored that you brought that in just for me to see. I want to get a picture. Let me see can I get a picture of you? Is that okay?
Sure.
Oh, man, this is so cool. I'm so thrilled you came in. So you've had this flying squirrel in your life for 20 years. Do you keep it on the wall in your house?
Right now, it's in the garage on the wall.
Cool. Does he have a name?
No.
Oh, you didn't name it?
No.
Oh.
I may have.
But you
I
forgot.
I don't remember.
Well, I am so thrilled you brought that squirrel into us. And what a neat experience. I have a picture of it now with you. And if it's okay with you, I'd like to put that on our newsletter. Is that okay?
Sure.
Let me see if K-Mud might want to put that in the or at least we'll put it on social media or something so folks can see the flying squirrel too. I am so honored that you brought this in. That's so cool. What a cool surprise. Thank you. You really made my day. Thank
no
you
problem.
For coming in. See, this is what Community Radio is for.
I just heard talk about a flying squirrel, and I said, wow, man, I gotta show this off.
I'm so glad you did. What a thrill. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to meet you. Thank you for coming in.
You're welcome.
Awesome. Well, you have a great day.
Thank you, and take care.
You too. Thanks so much. You know, next time I talk about something, I'll keep listening. Maybe you've got like a taxidermied whale for me or something.
No, this is it.
Oh, that's it. Okay. Well, thank you so much. So thrilled. Thanks again. Take care. You too. Oh my gosh, you never know what's going to happen next here at the K-Mud studio. Wow, wow, wow. I mean, I can't even tell you how much fun that just was. I was jaw dropped. Couldn't help that. That was really cool. Okay, so I've told you many things about flying squirrels now. Yeah, that's the kicker. Not only do they love to snuggle with all kinds of other animals, including owls that may, if those little pygmy owls were a little bit bigger, those flying squirrels would be lunch. But since they're the same size, they're buds. I just think that's such a lesson to learn in life. Like, man, we can all get along. It's cool. But also, flying squirrels glow. And you heard it here first, or maybe you already knew that and then you didn't hear it here first. But if you didn't know that yet, I highly recommend you spend some of that internet bandwidth to go find a video of flying squirrels glowing in ultraviolet light, because animals that live nocturnal lifestyles, they see a different spectrum of light than us. They see like the same way that the world looks through a UV light, like a purple black light, you know? That's the light spectrum that nocturnal animals see through. They see six... I'm trying to remember how they said it. I have it written down here. They see like six spectrums while we see four and dogs only see two. I am not a vision specialist, but it does say 365 NMUV. So those black lights from our childhood when we put those velvety posters in front of, that's the kind of vision that flying squirrels see all the time. So cool. So cool. I just cannot believe a flying squirrel just came into the studio. I should have told him to name it Rocky. Duh. I forgot. Rocky and Bullwinkle. Oh, well, if you're still listening, if you can hear me there, maybe its name should be Rocky. Okay. I'm going to come back in a little bit after some more music, and I'm going to tell you what flying squirrels like to eat. So if you're enjoying trying to play a guessing game, try to guess what flying squirrels eat, and I'll come back and tell you if you are right. All right. We're going to hear The Great Divinity by Daemonia Nymphae, which I do believe is a new release. After that, we'll hear from Agnes Obel. And I'll be back in just a little bit. Enjoy the tunes.
Falling on the tree. Thank you.
Right. That song is Anemone by the Brian Johnstown Band. I just found this band thanks to my teenager. He shows me all the coolest new stuff. So thank you to my kiddo for the Brian. I'm just making sure I'm saying it right. The Brian Johnstown. Oh, the Brian Johnstown Massacre. My bad. Brian Johnstown Massacre. The song was called Anemone. Before that, we heard from Emma Ruth Rundle with Arms I Know So Well, and before that, Agnes Obel, Pass Them By. I just had a special guest. A listener jumped into the studio to show me their actual taxidermied flying squirrel, so thank you for bringing that in. That was so cool. And, you know, I don't know if you caught it, but if you missed it, the reason he has a taxidermied flying squirrel is because his cat dragged it in. So, folks, there's another reminder that cats are taking over, man. I love me a kitty cat. I really love kitties. When I was little, I used to catch wild kitties. I love them. I was always covered in scratches, chasing the barn cats around. But they're taking over, man. They're technically invasive species. Put a bell on your kitty cat. Pretty, pretty please. And also, it never hurts to spay and neuter your pets. It is 5 o'clock. You are listening to KMUD Garberville 91.1 and HD1. KMUE Eureka 88.1 and HD1. KLAI Laytonville 90.3 FM. On the web, KMUD.org, you can find us live or archived, and in Shelter Cove at 99.5. This is Wild Craft. I'm Wild Ginger. In studio, we interviewed Paul from the Old Steeple, who is going to be showcasing the band Alash Ensemble from Tuva. They will be playing tomorrow night in the Old Steeple in Ferndale. I will play one more song by Alash Ensemble before the show ends. And I've also been talking about flying squirrels today. I've gone over some amazing facts about flying squirrels, including that they love snuggling in their nest. And after I said that, I got a caller who told me, as a tree sitter, they once woke up in the middle of the night to a flying squirrel literally snuggling their head. Oh my gosh, I love that story. I asked him, did they also steal some food from you? Because I do hear that flying squirrels will take things, especially they like to steal snacks from tree sitters. And he said, I can't say who the culprits were, but things went missing often. So that was my first guess. Flying squirrels, a little tricky. The other thing I said I would tell you about flying squirrels is what they eat, because we just learned that spotted owls eat primarily flying squirrels, which makes flying squirrels a keynote species, as spotted owls are an endangered species and they rely on spotted. Nope. Oh my goodness. I'm so excited. I can't help myself. Let me settle down. Spotted owls feed primarily on spotted. Nope. Oh my goodness. Third try's the charm. Spotted owls feed primarily on flying squirrels. And flying squirrels, although they have been found to eat seeds and nuts and insects, primarily eat fungus, and not just any fungi. Their favorite food, I think I share this with this love for the same fungi, their favorite food is truffles. Mind blown. How do they know where the truffles are? I had a caller say, maybe they know where the truffles are because they also glow. I don't know. Maybe that's true. That'd be amazing. Truffles smell really great. Maybe they have an amazing sense of smell and they can smell truffles through the soil. But my first guess would be they know where the truffles are because truffles grow primarily below the soil under the trees that the flying squirrels live in. That's my guess. Flying squirrels aren't supposed to leave the trees very often, so how do they get to these truffles? There's still so much more to know. They also don't drink water. They don't just like lap up water from a water bowl. They don't come down to a creekside stream and start licking up the water. Flying squirrels get their water source from the lichen that grows in the treetops. So we need that lichen for the spotted squirrel. No, the flying squirrels to have something to drink. And we need the spotted owls to keep that flying squirrel population in check, or there ain't going to be any truffles for anybody else. They can have them. They're so cute. They can have the truffles. Anyway, I just had to share that. I just am mind blown. The flying squirrels, I thought I was surprised when I learned that they share a nest with other animals, because that's so cute. But when I found out that they glow in a black light, that's when I had to get on the air and talk about flying squirrels. So I hope you are also excited to hear that news, because there's nothing more exciting than learning about something you thought you already knew about, you know? Like, learn something new every day. And every time I learn something new, I have more questions afterwards. It just seems like the way it is. Anyway, it's already 5 after 5. I have to let you know, Dr. Paul Demanchuk is proud to support KMUD Radio. The Vision Center provides eye care and eyewear, located at 616 H Street in Eureka. The Vision Center can be reached at 707-443-1619. And donors to KMUD include the Arcata Law Firm of Stokes, Hamer, Kirk, and Eads. The firm has been helping clients with legal matters since 1948. They provide help to clients with civil litigation, estate planning, family law, probate litigation, business law, real estate law, elder financial abuse, and more. Stokes, Hamer, Kirk, and Eads can be reached at 822-1771 and online at shkklaw.com. All right. We will be hearing public affairs around 5:30, and at 6 o'clock is the local news, but you get about half an hour more of the kind of music I love. This is Wild Craft. I play a lot of neo-folk, a lot of indie. I don't know. I play stuff I like. I like to say if there's a violin in it, I'll play it on the air. Not sure if this next song has violin. I forgot, to be perfectly honest. But the next song coming right up is from The Moon and the Night Spirit. Enjoy.
'Cause he would come back like he promised, with the price already paid. He would gather up his followers and take them all away. He's an unidentified flying object. He will sweep down from the sky. He's an unidentified flying object. Some will sleep, but will not die. He's an unidentified flying object coming back to take you home. He's an unidentified flying object. He will roll away your stone. And if there's life on other planets, then I'm sure that he must know. And he's been there once already and has died to save their soul. He's an unidentified flying object. You will see him in the air. He's an unidentified flying object. You will drop your hands and stare. He's an unidentified flying object coming back to take you home. He's an unidentified flying object. He will roll away your
All right, I'm back. So that was a good one, hey. What about all those UFOs they just stopped talking about? I can't believe that they're all drones. All right, just had to say it. That song was Nina Hagen with the song UFO, or maybe it's Hagen. She's from Germany. I think I did get yelled at by a caller last time I said Hagen. I'm from the Midwest, but it's probably Hagen, Nina Hagen. Before that was Rasputina with the New Zero. That song, I think it's about those cool hotels in Iceland made of ice. I thought it was appropriate for this time of year. Someday, that'd be a really weird, cool experience to see what it's like to live in a temporary ice hotel just for a night. One night, maybe. I don't know. I don't like being cold. Anyway, moving on. Flying squirrels don't like to be cold. That's why they snuggle with other flying squirrels. But they also, this is where I get to the part where we live with the land, right? So remember how I was saying that the old steeple has some barn owls that live in the attic, and the owner, Paul, and his partner, they keep them there. They're cool with that. Sometimes you just got to let the animals live with you. And when flying squirrels are living in your walls, you have two choices. You can kick them out or you can leave them there. Now we know flying squirrels only mate once a year. So if they have little ones, you might want to wait the tiny amount of just 2 months until the little babes fly off on their own, glide away as it will, and then transport the adults out of the home and say, thanks for coming, please goodbye, because you don't want to risk those baby flying squirrels not making it because they were evicted too soon. Because like we heard, flying squirrels on this side of the country only mate once a year, and they're a very important food source for the endangered species, the spotted owl. So we want to give them a chance to thrive if we can. If you're going nuts and you just can't handle it, technically you could open up the wall or the ceiling or wherever they are and take them out and place them somewhere far, far, far away in a tree. And hopefully they're cool with that. It is something you can do. But yeah, so I've read some articles where people say they caught the flying squirrels by putting like peanut butter, the classic thing that all animals will jump into a trap for. They put peanut butter in a trap and caught the flying squirrel, but they didn't take it far enough away. In fact, they opened the cage while they were still in their home because they couldn't help it because it was so cute. And when they opened the cage, it ran all over their house and then their cat caught it. So Don't open the cage till you get to where you're going. In fact, if you catch a wild animal, the best idea, if you have one of those like cool traps where they walk in, there's food in there, they get to the food, the door shuts, they're safe, they're not injured, they're just in a box. You cover that box with a towel to decrease the amount of chaos they feel in seeing you and in seeing the inside of your car, because they've never seen any of that stuff before. Put a towel over the cage, take them far, far, far away, release them in a habitat where you know they live. Don't just throw them out the door because they'll come right back. So anyway, there's that about flying squirrels. Wait the 2 months if you see little ones, and it'll be safer for everybody if you wait a little longer. So again, flying squirrels, going to say it again in case you didn't know, they're biofluorescent. That's right. They glow bubblegum pink in a black light. It may be to intimidate the spotted owls into thinking that they're barred owls, barn owls, or great horned owls that all pick on spotted owls. They may be pink because they're telling other flying squirrels where they are. They're like, hey, y'all, come over here. This tree's great. There's a bunch of truffles underneath it. I don't know. but they do like to congregate together. I misspoke earlier when I said 15 or 20 in a tree. In fact, scientists have seen between 25 and 50 flying squirrels in one tree at a time. And that means that's 50 sets of ginormous eyeballs looking around for predators and, you know, got each other's back kind of vibe. I think there's a lot to learn from flying squirrels. They snuggle with things that will keep them warm. They share their food. They share their home. Everyone's allowed in flying squirrel land. Even tree sitters. Now we know. So fun. So fun. A random fact, the Virginia opossum, which we don't have here, but lives in southern east side of the country, southeast, is called a Virginia opossum. We only have possums here, but the Virginia opossum also has a bioluminescent pink belly. So they're on the ground. So I'm not sure why they have that same pink going on, but this is a brand new something we're just learning about. One study said a guy in Wisconsin at Madison University figured it out, and one study said it was in Canada that they figured it out. Either way, all I know is if you need to write a dissertation on the cutest thing you've ever seen, you might want to study why flying squirrels are neon pink in a black light, because what the heck's going on there? I don't know. You never know what's going to happen over here on Wildcraft. All right, I'm going to skip ahead to some tunes that I really want to get through today because we had so much fun. I'm going to move forward. The next song is Dirt Universe by one of my faves. That is Chelsea Wolfe. Enjoy.
It's the end. friend of mine. It's the end.
This beautiful song is called The End by Sybil Bear. Before that, we heard from Alash Ensemble with Wind, and another Alash song right before that. Alash Ensemble.